Hey, this is Tim McKernan, and I am here with Seth Goldkamp of Design Air Heating and Cooling, and I have been a longtime Design Air client. What separates you guys from everybody else?
It's becoming more common for companies to just get their foot in the door. They try to come up with different ways to upsell. They try to see how much they can make off of a customer as opposed to, hey, we're in there to do a service. We're going to do it well. We're going to do it for a fair price.
I don't know how many emails I have received from our listeners who experienced the incredible customer service Design Air Heating and Cooling provides. It's Design Air Heating and Cooling online at designairservice.com.
The choice of a lawyer is important and shouldn't be based on an ad.
If you're seriously hurt in an accident, you'll want all the money you deserve. That's called justice. But there wouldn't be lawyers if justice was easy. No, justice is not easy. It's fought for and it's won. At Brown & Crouppen, we fight for justice every day. If you want some, call 222-2222, because at Brown & Crouppen, justice is our business.
Put me on a timesheet. I will be gone forever. Use me or lose me. Let's get away.
It's getaway time. Get our best deals of the season on a new Hyundai. It's your journey. Own every mile at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR, zero payments for 90 days, and 1,000 bonus cash on select vehicles. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Hurry. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event ends January 3rd. Call 1-562-314-4603 for offer details.
Hot takes.
Pepperoncini. Pepperoncini.
Yeah.
And now the Pepper and Genie Show with Darren Adkins and Ken Stroh. All right, take it, fellas.
There it is. That's the open.
Okay. Oh, sorry. To do my shopping list. Welcome into Pepper and Genie, Iggy Plowsy with you Tuesday morning. Gonna start warming up. You and I were just outside. You know what I like? It feels like spring training in March in Jupiter. A nice 75 degrees, warm breeze coming in. It's just perfect.
I love it. And we were talking about the fountain. Should be fixed in a couple weeks. Get that natural breeze and that sound going outside. Hang out and just sow in. It'll be beautiful.
That guy's going to get tired of me because he was out there working on it. I said, how's it look? I heard you guys had to order a part. He's like shaking his head. God, this guy again.
Yeah, he's not a huge fan, but, you know, it is what it is. Who cares?
He said, well, it's supply line, so as soon as we get the part, we'll fix it. But a couple weeks, he said. Anyway, today's Pepper and Genie. We're going to talk about sugar daddies, sugar mamas. Could either of us be a sugar daddy? Are we looking for a sugar mama? Have we ever been either? So we're going to get into that. We both have stories. But you and I are out at the break talking, and we're not going to break down Ozark. Don't worry about it. We're not spoiling it for anyone. But we have both watched, and I just finished it, and you finished it. We both watched the John Wayne Gacy documentary.
Correct.
There's a couple of them out there. I watched the one on Netflix, which is only 3 episodes. It's a very short series. And video recorder or audio recordings of him with his lawyer that you never heard before. I think there's one on Hulu that's 6 episodes, pretty much the same thing probably. But we were talking about, you know, what makes a good documentary. And we all know about John Wayne Gacy. He killed 33 people, 33 men and boys. And we both said, how did it take 33 before they caught him? And you and I were talking about no DNA back then, and they didn't do a lot of research. You know, oh, it's a missing kid. He'll come back. They didn't do a lot of looking. But to think that he could get away with killing that many people, and the one they caught him with was a guy that said, oh, the one who went missing, he was talking to John Wayne Gacy about some construction work outside. And that's when they decided to check into him after 33. Amazing that you could, I mean, that's what serial killers do. They kill as many as they can before they get caught. But 33 before he got caught?
Yeah. I told you in the 70s and 80s, and that's where you see a lot of not only serial killers, but, you know, one that are putting up big numbers. You know, you have Bundy and BTK and things like that, and it's before DNA. You know, you're talking even in the John Wayne Gacy thing, he had a sodomy case, and he moved one county over in Chicago, and that, you know, basically he started his new life. You know, jurisdictions and police forces aren't communicating with each other, so it's hard to even, you know, kind of know you have a serial killer until you have 8, 9 so odd victims. And so with that, it's just so much easier. And John Wayne Gacy, I look for a documentary I didn't know a lot about. When you hear about it, you hear about the clown thing. So you assume that he's just dressing up as a clown, going to kids' parties and picking up kids. That's not what he's doing. He's very well connected in the Chicago politics, owns his own company, and that is, you know, it's just a different story than what I thought it was, and that's what I look for. I like the Green River Killer. That's the one I like. That's a good documentary about, I think it's in Seattle area. And like I said, those 70s and 80s, it's so hard as a police officer with the lack of resources and technology to, you know, track down these people.
And the one thing when you watch these things, because, I mean, Gacy, we're talking, and I think today is the, God, was it 84? So it's almost 40 years, 38-year anniversary of when he was put to death.
Yep.
Today, I think it was May 10th.
And his trial, yeah, 76 or 78 is when he ended up getting caught. Or
I think he died, in 94, maybe. So not quite 30 years. But you have to go back, and if you find these detectives you can talk to these documentaries, I mean, 40 years ago. And it's funny to watch some of them kind of forget what they've already said.
Yeah.
Because they're interviewing these detectives who buddied up to Gacy to the point they started following him when they thought he may be involved. So, well, let's just follow him. And Gacy was just toying with him to the point where the detectives just went up to him and said, just to let you know, we're going to be with you 24/7. Wherever you go, there's going to be somebody following you. We're not going to even try to hide anymore because you know we're following you. And to the point where they would go into bars with him, and he'd buy him drinks, and they started talking. He invited him into their house one time. And the one time they went into the house is when one of the detectives said, I know that smell. The vent went on with the heat, and he could smell the decomposing body smell.
Yep.
So they're all in there, and they smell that. And when they got the first search warrant, they didn't find anything. Now they smell this, that we got to get another search warrant. And then they're talking to one of the old guys, and he's mumbling and stumbling, and I think it might have been the lead detective. He goes, well, we needed that second search warrant, you know, because, you know, we don't know what's in there. We don't know what we're going to find. We got to get back in that house. We hadn't been in there. And, you know, well, your other guy just said you're in there drinking with him, and you smell the decomposing bodies. You get kind of confused on what these guys are talking about because they've forgotten after 40 years.
Well, let's not forget they had a search warrant the first time, went to the attic, went to the crawl space.
Found nothing.
Found nothing.
So they've already been in there, and this second guy's going, well, we hadn't been in the house yet. We needed to, you were in the house, and you searched it, but found nothing.
Yeah. I to me, it's fascinating. You know, it's weird to say, you know, I love, you know, crime documentary, crime series, serial killer thing. It's just, you know, to get, and that's why people do it as a profession. That's why psychology, you know, gravitate towards people like this, because, you know, learning how people are able to do such heinous things while living relatively in normal life. I think the Iceman is another great example. I had a family of three, and he was a hitman and probably killed, I think, 50, 100 people. And you watch his documentary. It's a three-part series on HBO.
And interviewed him, too.
And he's absolutely cold-blooded. But
he didn't care.
And there's a movie about him as well, based on his story. I forgot what it was called.
The movie is not as good as the book. If you ever read the book Iceman Cometh, I think is what it's called.
The book is absolutely phenomenal. But the movie does kind of give you an idea of, you know, a family man turned hitman and what you can hide. And that's a personality thing, man. Like how you can, you know, just bury that and go home to your family, to your kids. And it's crazy.
And the one thing, too, that is amazing is that 30, I think they found 27 in his house.
And then 4 or 5 in the river.
In the river. And there were, when they did the documentary, there were 8 that they couldn't identify.
Yes.
Because back then, all you had was teeth. You didn't have DNA back then. You just went with teeth impressions. So there were eight that they didn't identify. And then when DNA came into play, I think in the early 90s, late 80s, I think it was like 92 or so, when they started using DNA, they exhumed these 8 bodies. And I think to this day, they've identified 4 of the 8 with DNA. So those families get some closure. But you have to remember, back in those days, I mean, all you had was fingerprints, basically. You know, and if you wipe the place clean, there's no evidence anywhere.
That's why, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a cop back then. But again, like I said, their first search warrant, they did go to the crawl space. So they, I mean,
that's when they smelt that what they thought was decomposing body.
Yes. I would recommend it, though. Three episodes, very quick, about hour each. Wouldn't say it's a wow documentary, but it gives me a lot of information that, you know, as a novice myself about Gacy, I had no idea. So it gives you a lot of information that you didn't know, which I like.
And to hear him talk. I knew all about Gacy, but I never heard him speak. Same with the Ted Bundy tapes, the documentary of the Ted Bundy tapes. You hear Ted Bundy talking to the reporter, the lawyer who he did all this with, and revealing things. And, you know, for Gacy to be talking about it, he goes, I don't even know if I killed these people. I had an accomplice. I was just there for two of them. Somebody else did it. And just changing his attitude. And then supposedly before they, you know, hit him with a lethal injection and hit the buttons, he just said, kiss my ass. That was his last words, kiss my ass. So I think it's fascinating, some of these things. They're all monsters, but fascinating. Okay, that was a serious topic. Now we're going to get into what applause you want to talk about. Sugar daddies and sugar mamas, and we know they exist. Now, you talked about some of the porn stars, OnlyFans. They have their wish list on Amazon.
Yeah.
What would that be, though? Because guys are sending them stuff, but they're not really getting anything in return. Would you consider them sugar daddies if they're asking for gifts and getting them?
See, that's a weird one because some are, some stars are different. Some actually do. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, Lisa Ann during her time did have that wish list. And I think she would do personalized videos. It wouldn't be raunchy, but it would be either a thank you video, maybe her in like a nightie. And kind of, hey, thanks, John, for, the gift. I really appreciate it. Maybe even take a video of her wearing the Tiffany bracelet or necklace or whatever you may have gotten them. But some will actually, Gabby Carter never did any of that, just took the presents and ran. And I don't know what you really get out of it. But good for her. In terms of, if you're in that lifestyle, you might as well, in radio. We love radio, but the cool thing about radio is the free stuff, the sponsor's giving you free food, or you're going to get free golf, something along those lines. It makes the job even more enjoyable. And I think here, if you're in that lifestyle, you might as well monetize it as much as possible, because in 2 years, you're a MILF. And 2 years after that, you're done. So you got a short window for most.
But we wouldn't consider those people that give us free golf our sugar daddies.
No. See, that's why I don't think that's a sugar daddy scenario. I don't know what they get out of it necessarily. But
free
again,
stuff. But do you have to be in a relationship? Like, say one of the porn stars is, do you have to hook up with an old guy with money to be a sugar daddy, or just getting free stuff and don't have to have sex with him?
I think for a sugar daddy, you give ultimatums as well. I'm going to give you a $10,000 to $15,000, let's say, allowance per month, but you're not able to, go out and have sex with other people. You can still do your videos, still do your online content, what have you. But I, in terms of the realm of sex, me and you are, together now. I think that's how a sugar daddy works.
Wouldn't that be a John?
I thought John's allowed their significant other to bang other dudes just as long as they're coming home to
them.
Well,
a John is just, you pay for sex.
Well, you remember, in speaking of documentaries, the Versace documentary.
Yeah, Johnny Versace.
Remember what's his name? Cunanan?
Yeah, Cunanan.
Remember that's a very similar, remember that guy that lived in that really nice house in Florida? Kind of wanted to give him that allowance, but his stipulation was, you're staying at the house. I'm yours, you're mine. You can't go around embarrassing me, besmirching my name. And Cunanan didn't want that because he did like the lifestyle of, having a bunch of different partners, having a lot of, fun.
See, now Cunanan would have considered that guy a sugar daddy.
Correct, yes.
The sugar daddy would just considered this is a relationship.
Yes. And so I think you have to be transparent with the sugar daddy, sugar mama thing, because it could get dicey. Because if you walk home, if you're at home and your significant other is banging somebody, or they're going out, or you can clearly tell that they're having another relationship, that's a tough conversation, especially if you're getting that monthly stipend from your sugar daddy.
Now, see, I'm just guessing there's really no definition of what a sugar daddy is.
No.
Or a sugar mama. I think it's just a title, just like Hoosier. What's the title for a Hoosier? I mean, what's the definition of a Hoosier? Everybody's got a little Hoosier in them. So I guess with a sugar daddy, I'll give you an example. And I said I had one. But I wouldn't consider it a sugar daddy. this guy, he was a gay gentleman. He dated a guy I work with at a restaurant, and we became friends. And he would pay, at the time I was doing a lot of bowling, and he would pay for all of my entry fees into bowling. And if I was going to be late for a payment or something, he'd lend me money, give me money. Oh, I'll take care of that for you. I never did anything with the guy. I hung out with him and his boyfriend. We had drinks, and he'd come watch me bowl when he paid for these entry fees. But I don't know what he thought if he was getting it. Was he just being nice to me, or did he think he was going to get somewhere? So I guess technically I could say, yeah, he's my sugar daddy. He's paying for all this stuff. But I did nothing with him. So there was no sex involved. Obviously, I'm straight. There was no sex involved. But he was paying for a lot of things for me to do.
I think with the cuck definition, there's certain variables. And I think this, I don't think money has to be the end-all, be-all with a sugar daddy situation. Maybe they're just, you know, giving you lodging. Maybe it's just little gifts while you're going out, you know, on a date or something. I don't know if money is the end-all, be-all. I think it's more to do with control, to me at least, what a sugar daddy has to his, you know, partner, is the ability to have the money and the control of, you know, what they do, when they do it, who he or she is talking to. So that's what I usually see when it comes to sugar daddies and sugar mamas. Or you're giving them the, you know, obviously, you know, love isn't there. You're giving them that monthly allowance, but you're also controlling that scene. And so in your situation, you're kind of getting free gifts, having fun.
I am. No sex. But people called him my sugar daddy. They said, oh, is your sugar daddy paying again? Yeah, he paid for it. I don't see, they called him my sugar daddy. But I always thought a sugar daddy, there had to be some kind of sex involved. Because, okay, I'm getting what I want. I'm getting sex from this younger guy or younger woman or whatever.
Companionship is a huge
thing. But I'm paying for a lot of things.
Yeah.
So there's got to be some companionship involved. Now, on the other hand, if you see, and this term will be thrown out all the time, if you see, say, a 70-year-old woman, she's still attractive, but she's 70, and she's going to parties, and she's going to these things with this 28-year-old Adonis who's driving a new Bentley and living in the house and wearing Armani's, that, you're going to say, that's a sugar mama. That's that guy's sugar mama. She's paying for everything. Now, is he having sex with the woman or just going out with her as like arm candy and she's paying for everything?
I think the sugar mama, sugar daddy is the and you would be surprised. I think the sugar daddies, I think sex is secondary. I think the companionship, being together with that person.
I think you could be right.
I think the female, very underrated how horny females get, especially in their later years, especially if they're single, maybe a widow, you know, has been single for a long period of time. I think if you're doing with a sugar mama, there is sex involved in that aspect. I don't think they're looking for companionship with somebody 30 years younger than them as much as older guys are looking for that younger companion. So I think sex is almost guaranteed when you're dealing with a sugar mama.
I think you're right. Sugar mama has to have some kind of sex involved with the person she's paying all of these gifts to and, you know, paying for an apartment and all of this stuff. She's expecting something.
And for me, me and Madison always talk about, you know, what's it going to take if you find a sugar daddy that wants to, you know, have you as, you know, with companionship. You know, what's the net worth of the guy? What would be, you know, your monthly income to do so? I told her I would like to see a net worth of 20 to 30 million. Would love to see that 10 to 15K a month kind of come in. I think if you give me that, I think I'm comfortable, A, not only having a sugar mama or sugar daddy, but also letting Madison have herself a sugar mama or sugar daddy as well.
There has to be wealth involved. There has to be, because,
yes.
Like I talk about, I would love to just retire, not even retire. I talk about when I was in Lauderdale, and there was a Rally's right there.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
A Checkers, I don't know what it was. And right next to that was a street lined with palm trees, and they weren't huge homes. They were middle-class homes, but they all had porches and palm trees all lining, and I said, that's it. And I happened to notice that the back door of the Rally's where they cooked was open. So you're flipping burgers. We got a nice breeze coming off of, you know, the ocean air coming in there, and I said, that would be perfect for me. I would like to get a job there, just flip burgers for 4 or 5 hours a day, walk right down the street. I'm living with this woman. We have iced tea on the porch. I got a place to live. She's not wealthy, so I would be using basically her for her house, her porch, a place to live. There's no money involved. So that technically, she would not be a sugar mama.
No, because you are still working, making a living wage. Your money is your money. So I would say that isn't. It's a convenience factor.
That would be a leech is what I would be. A leech. But
a roommate. Oh, maybe.
But I'm not paying for anything.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm living in her house. I don't know what I would call that except for a leech. But that wouldn't be, that's where the money comes. You have to, in order to be a sugar mama, sugar daddy, there's got to be some kind of wealth involved.
Whether you're living in the mansion, whether you're having that monthly stipend, whether you're going on vacations with the person, you obviously flying in the private jet. For me, my perfect dream scenario for like a sugar mama, I wake up at 6:30. I'm making her some poached eggs. She lets me go out and golf. I come back, have a little, you know, sex sesh, you know, take a shower, hang out, go back to golf again in the evening, come back, and she's already passed out. That's perfect. Got my black card. You know, everything's on her name, and that's very stress-free. I think that'd be perfect. It doesn't have to be sex all the time. That freedom to do nothing and come back to a lavish house with a full kitchen, maybe a chef, you know, be able to go on vacations. I'd take one for the team.
Now, you have Anna Nicole Smith, who married that old dude who was worth millions. I think he was like 90. She was 25 at the time or something like that, 26.
Worth a lot, yeah.
All right. And he had kids who were going to be in the will. She became the wife. Is he still a sugar daddy if now they're husband and wife?
I think he turned into the sucker. You know, he started out as a sugar daddy, but you can't give that power, especially the power of attorney. I think she had that as well, to pull the plug, to, you know, have a say of where your money goes or where your kids' money goes. You're getting to the point to where now it's not, you're an afterthought. Now all the money is already in her possession, in her name, now just waiting out the clock for you to die. I think you're putting too much power for her. Now, he said they loved each other. I it's hard for me to believe that. But yeah, once you already have established the will, once you're already married, that's too far. Your sugar daddy can't marry his side piece. You just can't, because it always turns out horrible. For
because
the kids,
now,
for him, for a whole thing.
Because now it's no longer your money.
No, it isn't.
It's also her money.
Yeah.
So you can't be a sugar daddy because what's yours is hers. So she has just as much money as you do now.
And she had control of the medicals. I'm just saying, if she wants you to die or wants you to, you know, not live as long, certainly she had that power to, you know, kind of dictate that as well.
And then he dies. I don't think she got the money, actually.
No.
But let's just say she inherited $100 million. And now she has that for many, many years. She turns 70 and is still worth $80 million. Now she starts dating a 25-year-old guy.
At that circle,
she went from going with a sugar daddy to becoming a sugar mama.
And I think that you don't see a lot of that metamorphosis from
circle.
A lot of people. That is full circle. Usually you don't have people living that long, though, where, you know, and not getting caught for it, to go from, you know, the beneficiary to now wanting a sugar or being a sugar mama for company.
And if we wanted to interview a sugar mama or a sugar daddy, we never could, because nobody's going to admit to that.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to admit, yeah, I'm a sugar mama. Yeah, I'm a sugar daddy. I take care of her.
Although you and I could spot them from a mile away.
Oh, yeah, we can spot them.
I think the admitting it is still a long ways away. They don't want to admit that this isn't love. This is just strictly a convenience for both myself and this person who's really in desperate need of money and caregiving.
And then you have the gigolos, which... it wouldn't be, if you watch the movie American Gigolo, you have Richard Gere.
No, I love that movie.
Who is hooked up with a few older women. They're paying him for his services and buying him gifts. But technically, they couldn't be a sugar mama because he's a professional. They're paying for his services, which you would if you were just dating. But he's not really dating. He's got three or four of them on the hook. So the difference is that he's a professional. Now, if he wasn't a professional and this was all getting money, and said, nah, don't call me a gigolo, you're just paying me to hang out with you, I don't understand the difference there.
He's on the clock. I think that's a huge difference. Now, if you want to cook him dinner and kind of go on vacation, that's fine, but he can charge you per the hour. Whereas, you know, that monthly stipend eliminates any hourly wages, you know, to where a gigolo, if he goes over there and he stays 8 hours, he's probably going to charge you for more than just a sec that you provided.
How you doing with your Dutch? Hasselinga. Yes. I would highly recommend American Gigolo.
It's good.
It's an old movie, but it made Richard Gere's career. He started his career with that. There we go. I think we delved into it, and we enlightened people on sugar daddies and sugar mamas. I would love a sugar mama.
Oh, my gosh. I would just bang the hell out of a
I wouldn't abuse it. I would find one that I actually enjoy spending time with. I wouldn't do it just for the money. I wouldn't just take the money and say, God, I can't stand being with this person. No, I'd have to find somebody that I enjoyed company with, but it's always nice if you're involved with somebody that's got millions and you basically have nothing.
Oh, I think me and you are different. I'll fake it till I make it.
Oh, I gotta have some kind of feeling. I'm not ruthless. All right, we gotta go. Another chapter of Pepper and Jeannie in the books. We hit the topics nobody else will tackle.
That's right.
And tomorrow at 10 o'clock, we'll think of something else. Plowsy, have a great afternoon. Have fun at your Blues Watch Party tonight at Casino Queen.
I will. I will. You enjoy you yourself Jackson? Tonight. I'll let you know how it goes.
Yeah, just text me the score. Oh, thanks for joining us. Tune in tomorrow, TMA 7 to 10, and we'll be back tomorrow 10 o'clock. You can podcast us, obviously. Get those downloads up. Give us a listen. Let us know what you think on Twitter, on our comments section. TMA STL for Hubbard Radio. Iggy Plowsy back tomorrow. See you.
Hi, I'm your unused PTO. It's almost the end of the year, and if you don't put me on a timesheet, I will be gone forever. Use me or lose me. Let's get away.
It's getaway time. Get our best deals of the season on a new Hyundai. It's your journey. Own every mile at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR, zero payments for 90 days, and 1,000 bonus cash on select vehicles. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Hurry, the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event ends January 3rd. Call 1-562-314-4603 for offer details.